Steam locomotives were some of the most powerful machines ever built. They pulled trains that fueled our imagination. They represented vision, collaboration, ingenuity, customer service, and extraordinary human achievement. But in order to get to their destination, it took someone guiding them through a series of switches in order to get to the main line. Just like leaders today, it takes someone directing them down the right path in order to get to their destination. Welcome to Mainline Executive Coaching ACT, which stands for and Cultural Transformation, hosted by Master Certified Intelligent Leadership Executive Coaches Michael Bailey and Rich Barron. With over 50 years of successful cultural transformation and quantum leadership development between them. Once again, thanks for joining us and enjoy today's show.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. We are on the roll here. This is Mainline Executive Coaching, ACT, Act, Action, Leaders Act, get into action if you're not already, and cultural transformation. Rich Barron, my partner, I am Michael Bailey. We two together are going to be taking this trip with you. And it's going to be about a very interesting commentary about HR. Sometimes we have some considerations. Let's see. Let's put it that way, Rich. We have some considerations, yeah. Some thoughts about HR, what HR is doing these days. We work with people who are unemployed, who are looking for new job opportunities. And we see firsthand how often HR does not treat these people who are applying for jobs all that well. Kind of rude, yes. Kind of indifferent. They're kind of, you know, neglectful. And we wonder about that. We wonder, why are they so, let's put it this way, so unprofessional? Why are you so unprofessional? Let's start there, Rich. Let's open that up.
That's a very, very valid question. Why are you so unprofessional? Let's kind of lay the groundwork here a little bit. As Michael mentioned, we work with a lot of these folks that are out of work, trying to get back into the workforce. And if you've ever been in that situation where at some point in our careers, everybody's going to go through this, but it can be one of the most disheartening, depressing, dark times in a person's life. And the longer this drags on, the more interviews they go to and the more rejections they get, it becomes more and more difficult to build that confidence in yourself. One of the big issues that we have right now, and it's one that was even discussed in a class that I was facilitating this morning, is this ghost that somehow resides in HR. When I say the ghost of HR, I'm talking about people getting to one and two interviews, three interviews, and they're told we'll be in touch, or you know, we're going to have something scheduled here in the near future, and then nothing, not a goodbye, not a letter, not a go to heck, nothing. Nothing along those lines. And there is nothing more disheartening or to some of these job seekers who think they're, you know, two and three interviews down the road, they got a chance and then get completely ghosted. And I can't tell you how weak that is, not only from a personal standpoint, but from a leadership standpoint, from a just a common courtesy standpoint. But it happens more often than we care to admit. And it can be completely derailing for some of these job searchers.
It's the absolute truth. Let's take a look at this notion. Originally, what human resources is all about. Human resources, there's the name right there, human resources. This is a resource place for the human beings that go there. And so it ought to be a place where people feel good gathering, talking to the people. It's a bonding kind of an experience. It's here to help you. We want you to feel like you're welcome, that you belong, that you are part of what it is that we're doing here. And we're going to make sure that you get the training necessary so that you can do your job not only well, but also at a real level of quality, a real level of excellence. Let's put it that way. Okay. So it's not that. Can we just say,
it's
not that. In fact, interestingly enough, in some ways, instead of being warm, welcoming, supportive, and encouraging, what it's actually become is rather tyrannical. Let's just put it out. Yeah. It becomes tyrannical. It becomes controlling. It becomes this kind of moralistic place. So we are better than you. We know more than you. We are just better people. And therefore, we should be able, justifiably, be able to manipulate you. And you should have no problem with that. You don't like it. You know, you're a schlub. I wrote a whole piece on ghosting, you know, leaders that are ghosting. That's not a good look on you, folks. If you're a leader and you're ghosting other people, treating people like they're schlubs, bad idea. Not good at all.
No.
So you invite somebody to come to your home and you're saying, we're looking for good people to come and join us and be part of our organization. We're the one who initiated it. We're the one who invited you. You come to it. And after two, three times, maybe four times, we just ignore that you're even there. And if you come back to bug us after we've invited you to come and join us and have a conversation with us, now you're really becoming a problem. You're becoming an annoyance. Even though we invited you, now you're the problem. What are you doing bothering us? Because we're the superior ones. We know better. And yet, at the same time, we have no moral convictions. We have no moral fortitude. We have no professional courtesy or business ethics that we can say, golly gee, you're a great candidate. It just didn't work out. Here's why. Here's what we liked about you. Here's some things you might consider. They don't have the courage to do that. They can be tyrants, but they can't be courageous in their leadership.
That you hit that right on the head. And we're not bringing this to the forefront lightly. We also work with organizations and on their culture and on their leadership. And so this isn't something that we just hear. This isn't just hearsay. We see this firsthand. And a lot of the people we talk to, it always comes back, especially in culture. It comes back time after time after time that inevitably some finger is going to get pointed at HR. They don't talk to us. The only time that I ever get to talk to HR is if I'm in trouble. You know, so if you're that good kid at work, you're that good, just kind of mind your own business, stay in the middle of the road, stay out of other people's lanes, we'll never see you again. You're fine, because we're going to be looking for those ones who aren't doing that. We're looking for the troublemakers. And time after time, that becomes the MO of the story, of the people that we're talking to. And so this isn't something we're just bringing to the forefront lightly. This is something that is, in fact, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. Ask yourself why you don't have a serious leadership pipeline. Who in the organizations should be responsible for finding that talent and developing that leadership pipeline? You know, it's a rhetorical question. Honestly, I mean, it should just be matter of fact. Oh yeah, right here. I'll raise my hand.
Yeah, I mean, HR recognizes that it's very important to have great leadership developing on the bench, ready to go.
Yeah,
get those people with the emerging leader talents.
Yeah,
get them involved. Get them some training. Get them some coaching. They all recognize it, and yet only about 5%. Do anything about it.
And that's an actual survey. There was 18,000 HR professionals in this survey that they recognize, we don't have a great pipeline. That's a serious human capital problem we're having right now. Yet only 5% of them came back and said, we're actually doing something about that.
You were sharing with me, this is typical and kind of goes back to HR and leadership and all that kind of stuff. A woman who's taken over a position in a company, to manufacture.
Taking over is a good choice of words.
Taking over, yeah. And you were telling me that there is such a churn and burn in that organization now since she's taken over. This is like fascinating to me, because this is like self-destruction on steroids. of the organization and her people and herself even. If you really take a look at the way she works, tell us a little bit about how this is working out, the craziness, and why is nobody catching this? Why is nobody seeing it?
And this comes from some acquaintances I know that reached out to me here in the past few weeks, wondering about that had lost their jobs at this organization, and was wondering if I could help them out or point them in the right direction and give them some coaching on the job search. And this came from what they were telling me is that the churn has become so crazy that even the HR people, as soon as they're hired, that for these areas, they last maybe a couple months and then they get fired because they're not stepping in line with what this senior HR individual expects of them. And that goes back to, holy smokes, you're the one that hired them. You hired them and then you fire them. You hire somebody else and then you fire them because you can't find the place on them to tie the string so you can puppet master them. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but it creates such a distrust in the organization that, who's going to really engage in an organization like that when they see even the senior leadership in and out, in and out, in and out. They're there and then they're gone.
You got to take a look at that and say, if you're so incompetent, first off, to hire somebody, and then within a couple months, fire them, they're not the problem. You're the problem. You're the person who doesn't really know what is even going on, because you can't figure out who are the people to put in those seats. Even if all you wanted to do was to be the puppet master, you ought to have enough moxie to know who are the people that you're going to lie to, manipulate, deceive, trick, and just jam up so they'll do whatever it is you want them to do. If you can't even figure that out, and you're just a bad person, as those of you doing that anyway, you ought not to be sitting in that seat, because all you're really doing is an ongoing process of destroying human beings.
Absolutely.
And that goes back to this whole thing we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah.
The heck are you doing, HR? You have just, that little scenario there, Rich, is an example of you've become the opposite of who it is you said that you are. I mean, this is that whole thing, the Dorian Gray picture.
Yes, it is.
Outside you look great. I mean, you got it all together. You got to look, just to the nines and all that jazz. You got all the right things you're saying and da, da, da. But inside you're just a craven monster. Yeah. That's the truth, man. And so why, as we've talked about this before, why should we trust HR? And in fact, what's interesting about this, as I recall, this individual that you're making remarks about, who's this HR, at one point she heard one of our HR our podcasts, and she reached out to you and she said, you ought to leave this stuff alone to HR people. Well, that's funny thing is, you're the person we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. That's, you're absolutely right. Yep.
Hit a button.
Yeah. Or is that some kind of admittance to, guilt? We kind of, struck a nerve there. it's like we were drilling your tooth without any lidocaine.
Well, we wouldn't give her any anyway.
Yes. we give her a placebo.
You shouldn't be feeling this.
No. I guess the whole point of what we're saying is real leaders don't do this.
That's right.
They don't. Real leaders in organizations don't do this. They don't ghost those people. They don't ignore those people. They take the time to communicate effectively. Even if it's someone that you're not going to hire, you take the time to communicate and say, I really appreciated the time working with you. Because here's the kicker. And I'm gonna maybe turn this around on you a little bit. One of the things that we stress is building a network, an organizational network, where if you're ever out of work, you can plug yourself back into that network and keep building, that network. Remember, if you're that person that's ghosting others, there's going to come a time when you need to plug into a network, right? You need to, and these people that you potentially ghosted, they could have been your best ally in helping you find your next job. Think about that. The next time that you determine that you are above and beyond, whoever, what's this ATF, the ATF systems above the fold? You got to freaking be kidding me. That's really what they're called, ATF, above the fold. We're going to use these above the fold systems to kick resumes out. We're going to use that to kick out people because it's above the fold. Serious?
Now, welcome to the land of narcissists for another clever way to define ourselves and define you. If you're not above the fold, well, by golly, yeah, you're not going to be part of our organization, because we are all above the fold. In fact, not only are we above the fold, we're a little bit higher than the fold, just so that you know.
Yeah.
Upper crust. The upper, that's another way. We are the upper crust of employees.
Yeah, we're above the above part.
Take a look in the mirror. Tell the truth.
So I guess, and this isn't meant to demean everybody in HR. It's just meant as a gentle reminder. Maybe not as gentle as you'd want it to be.
Yes.
But it's a reminder to be a great leader. To take that time, that consideration, and use that human element that we all crave, and remember that these people who are looking for these jobs, or even that are working in your organization, are looking for someone to give them some hope.
Yeah, and that's a very, very interesting thing. If you take a look at Maslow's hierarchy, people want to feel, number one, safe. They want to feel safe.
Yeah.
And from that, you get the sense of, okay, you feel safe. We have some emotional belonging here. We can work together. And then above that, it's like, okay, let's start, working in a better way. Let's really start doing some great stuff. HR, if you can't even make people feel safe, if they're worried and they're anxious just coming in because you are so erratic, you are so lacking in principle, so lacking the clarity of the purpose of the organization, of why you're there, of what you are to do there. If you're so lacking in that, you're never going to get people that really feel loyalty towards each other and the organization. If you can't get that loyalty going, then you're never going to have great employees. You're never going to have a great organization from which people look forward to going to work, enjoy working with each other, and enjoying the mission of the organization. You will never get them there, because they will always be so jacked up by you. So what you're taking a look at, Rich has pointed out, you may be cutting your own throat, number one, because of the way you treat people. The other thing is the very thing that you are entrusted to do, which is to take care of the organization. You are actually the termites in the house who are eating the house up, and it's going to collapse. You're doing that. You're the termites. You're the one who's eating your own home. And you're the one who's doing the damage.
Yes. Very interesting. Very, very interesting look at that. And that really goes for even that C-level on those above. If some of the people are afraid to even approach the HR and the organization, how do they feel about going to anybody above them and getting really acquainted with that C-level? Which is something that nobody should be afraid to do.
Yeah. Again, the whole thing was help people feel welcome, that they belong, that you want them here, not that somehow this is, huge privilege that you've deigned upon them, that you can take away at any moment just because you can.
Yes.
Silly stuff. Yeah. Silly, silly stuff. All right, Rich. Excellent.
Well, any shout outs today, Michael?
There was one that I saw from St. Helier, Jersey. I did not know. St. Helier, Jersey. It is one of 12 islands off the coast, the part of the Channel Islands, Channel Islands off the coast of France. And Jersey is the largest island of that 12. I believe it's 12. And maybe it's more, but and then all the provinces there on Jersey, St. Helier is the largest. So a little about that, it looked like a beautiful place to live right off the coast of France. Thank you for joining us, St. Helier.
Yes. And when you first said Jersey, so I apologize to those folks in St. Helier, but I was thinking New Jersey here in the States. And I'm trying to think what islands are off in New Jersey. But then when you said off the coast of France, I'm thinking, what a wonderful place.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Been around for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, welcome. Welcome to Mainline Executive Coaching ACT. That's what we say right at the very first of each one of our programs. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope you get something out of it. I hope that you can reach out to us. Reach out to us. Let's talk about this. Good, bad. Give us some feedback. Tell us what you think. So michaelbailey.com, michaelbailey.com, or richbarronexecutivecoaching.com. You can find us on LinkedIn. Let's have a conversation. Tell us what you think or what you would like to hear about, or even if you'd love to be a guest on our podcast, we'd love to have you. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. We will listen to you, unlike some HRs.
Yeah, we'd love to listen. So that's how we learn.
We're learners.
Yeah. I learned something new today. I didn't know anything about St. Heller, but now I do. I'm better for it.
There you go. See, we're learners. We're not going to learn you.
Yeah. You go out and pick yourself a switch off the tree, and I'll learn you something, pal. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care and be safe.
Yes. All the best to you, leaders. Leaders, lead well.
With all of the issues facing leaders and organizations today, you need executive coaching more than ever. Go to our websites, richbarronexecutivecoaching.com or michaelbailey.com. You can also find us both on LinkedIn. Reach out to us and let's sit down and find out just how bright your future can be with executive coaching. We'd also like to thank all of our supporters in over 60 countries and 600 cities worldwide who have helped to make us one of the top executive coaching podcasts in the world. From Rich Barron and Michael Bailey, this is Mainline Executive Coaching ACT. Thank you and take care.